Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Brian's back with us. He was at the Flats yesterday. He's back with us now. He's here in the flesh. Twitch rejoices. Football's about to start.
Yeah.
Belgium and Senegal. We're on Belgium. Sweat of the day. We got three sweats of the day. We're on Belgium money line at plus 120. We're on Belgium Senegal to go over 2.5 goals at minus 118. And we're on the Blue Jays to win a baseball game at minus 109. So if you want to fade us, do so at your own risk. If you want to tell us, well, then here you go. Here's your opportunity. We won two bets yesterday to get us to a grand total of zero on the week.
Yep.
Because we lost two Monday. Lost two units, won two units yesterday. On the year, we're up 3.3 units.
Good.
So if you were betting million-dollar units, you'd be up $3.3 million with Jeremy Andrews.
Don't say we never did nothing for you.
We could make you millionaires.
We could make you millionaires.
Well, I don't bet on you. That's on you. That's not on us.
Yeah.
That's your fault. It's not our fault.
You'd be up $3.3 mil. Come on.
I'm just saying. It's kind of on you. How were the flats yesterday?
Very cool place. Very cool place. I liked it a lot. Yeah, it's
you like the vibes?
Yeah,
how was the feng shui of the place?
I think you would like it. It's definitely set up for like live music and DJs, but nice bar, nice setup.
So why would I like it?
That's a good counterpoint, Jeremy. I would like it, maybe.
But to be fair, his question was like, "How was the feng shui?" I think the feng shui you would like. Now maybe what happens once the doors open? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yep. Sorry, real quick.
Your brain stopped working there for a second?
Yeah, I'm arguing with people on the internet about baseball rules.
Oh, man. Which one?
Did you see the we'll get to the Astros in a second. I think it was the Red Sox game. Did you see the runner for the – it was an eventful game yesterday. There was a runner at first. Looks like there was already two outs in the inning, so why did he throw to second? That's kind of dumb. But regardless, there's a runner at first, ground ball to first base. First baseman fields the ball from the cut of the grass. So, like he was holding the runner, had it come up, you know, fielded it, whatever. He's throwing – oh, maybe it was a pickoff. But the runner, like, goes 2 feet into the grass on the infield to, like, get in the way of the throw.
Yeah.
Ball hits him, safe at second, blah, 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 blah. Which is something that I admit is never enforced. I admit it's never enforced. But I sent out a tweet today, and I said that – I wish the umpires had the courage to enforce the rule, because the rule is very, very simple, Joe. The rule is that a runner is out when they intentionally interfere with a thrown ball.
Yes.
It's that simple with the rule. Now, what is often overlooked in how umpires enforce this is that they give a lot of leeway to the runner when it comes to intent and intentionally interfering with throws. We saw Yasmani Grandal back with the Astros in the day when he ran up the first baseline. And people just, like, they start making up, well, the baseline. The baseline doesn't come into play until there's a tag attempt made on the base runner. How does that have any influence on a thrown ball? Well, you know, he's legally allowed to be there so he can do it. Okay, if a guy was in a rundown and he saw a ball lobbed over his head and he went up like Dikembe Mutombo and slapped that sucker away, did the no,
yeah.
Would he be out?
Yes.
Of course he'd be out. Why would he be out?
Because he interfered
with the
ball.
Because he intentionally interfered with the ball. So people, oh, yeah, if he's where he's at, he can do it. No, he can't. You can't intentionally interfere with the thrown ball at any point. At any point. Now, counterpoint. Umpires give a lot of leeway to the runner, and they almost never call that. It has to be, like, so obvious for them to call it. I'm just saying I wish they would have the cojones to enforce their own rules.
It does look like it was obvious.
I think it was obvious.
I mean, if you look when you look at the screenshots that you tweeted out, like, the shortstop from the Red Sox is a foot off the base on the dirt and is directly in line with the runner. Like, it looks very, I mean, he's way in the grass at this point. It looks very intentional. Yeah, it was an eventful day. That's Wilson Contreras who threw that ball, hit the guy off the back.
It had to have been a pickoff,
yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty funny. Some funny stuff. Anyways, back to the Astros. We won't do baseball rules all day. We don't need a case study on the rule book.
We can't. Why not?
Astros come from behind.
They do
win the game 6-4. They picked fort. Mike Burrows up because Mike Burrows did not have a good start to this game. More on that later. But the offense was obviously good enough. You're happy to score six runs. Yordan Alvarez is a freak show behavior by the best hitter on the planet. That was a cool inning though. That fourth inning, because like everybody contributed. You got Cam Smith base hit, Taylor Trammell. They gave him credit for a base hit. I think it was an error.
Agreed.
Yiner Diaz. Like I don't want Yiner Diaz ever putting the ball on the ground first and third one out situation, but hey, the ball had eyes on it, and it saw its way to left field. That was cool. That was awesome. Raynel Delgado, he comes up in a spot.
First career double.
Well, that was in the fourth.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
He comes up in a spot where he draws the walk, passes the baton. Jose Altuve strikes out for a moment, but then immediately challenges 3-2 walk, passes the baton, and then here comes the slugger. Here comes the best hitter on the planet. Here comes the baddest mofo in all of the dike. And Yordan Alvarez hits a grand slam.
Yeah, he did.
It's a grand slam. And then the Astros, that's enough. It's the old adage, yo. Teams in half the times the games are won score more runs in one inning than the other team scores all game.
So it's half the times?
It's half the time.
Okay. I couldn't remember. You said that once. Yeah, I couldn't remember what it
the
was.
Winning team in half of their games scores. It sounds like a Yogi-ism. I'm botching this. But anyways, whoever wins, the winner of a baseball game, Major League Baseball game, half the time scores more run in one inning than the other team does all game.
Yeah.
That came into play.
And that's what the Astros did.
Six runs in the fourth.
You think that with the Altuve, is that just a general awareness? Or do you think there was a conversation after the night before of in that 3-2 count moment, no matter what, just be ready to challenge it? Because it's so baseball for that to happen the day after the Astros get burned on it. That Altuve does it the right way, that Walker should have done the night before, then Yordan Alvarez wins the game. I don't know if that just was Altuve's just prepared, because he's been excellent at challenging baseballs this year at the ABS. I didn't think he would be. Time he did it was ugly, and then it's been pretty damn good since. I think he's 15-20 or 15-21 now on the season. That moment right there, it's where to what we talked about yesterday. He shouldn't have to do that. It should just be, ABS should just be in play all the time. But then Alvarez comes through after making a mistake earlier in the game and being 0 for 16 going to yesterday, three hits, the grand slam. He smoked that thing too.
Yeah.
He just crushed every. Maybe it's just the swing, but it looks like every single time he hits a home run, it just is a monster shot.
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
Man, when he gets a hold of him, he sends it a long ways.
He's a stud. Best hitter on the planet. He came in for Key from LA was trying to dunk in our text line yesterday. When's the last time Yordan Alvarez has had a hit? I like Mike Trout. That's like what Keith from LA was saying yesterday in the text line. And then what did Yordan do yesterday? Yordan was a freak show. Probably because he heard, you know what? Keith from LA, get Yordan name out your mouth.
Agreed.
When was the last time Yordan got a hit? Mike Trout should be the MVP. Keith from LA spams our text line.
He does.
And what did Yordan do yesterday?
He's crushing baseballs.
Turned a game upside down again.
Yeah, he did.
Turned a game up. Well, how many hits did he get?
Three.
Not one. Not two. Three.
You're on one today.
I'm not in a good mood.
I can feel it. Why?
I don't know. I think it's a lack of sleep. I think it's too few hours in the day.
Okay.
I think it's people incorrectly and ignorantly arguing me about rule book rules. This dude that tried to dunk on me with he copied and pasted. It's not even in the rule book. He screen grabbed some internet fake thing, somebody's opinion or an example. So I'm not in a great mood.
I do feel that is the core of this.
He's annoying me.
Is that people don't know ball.
It really annoys me because, it really makes me. It's still real to me, dang it. No. But people just don't know how to go to the rule book. People are just I think it's called this way, so this is the way it must be. All right, well, show it to me. Well, I can't do that.
Well, that's
an issue. That's a problem.
Yeah, it's not that hard.
This is the way I think it is. All right, well, show it to me then. That's just going to be my reply from now on when I argue with these people. Show me.
Prove it.
BS flag. You're still going to argue with them.
Show me. Yeah, I think I'm not.
Agreed.
I think I'm not. Maybe really? maybe I might entertain it for
this?
A little bit.
Maybe we should bookmark this.
Well, you're probably right that I'm going to argue it. I think it's more the degree of argument. I think it's going to be more surface level than deep to the earth's core.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
That's fair.
I think I might scratch the surface of the earth with the arguments here, but I don't think I'm going to go all the way down to the core like I normally do. So it's more to the degree.
It's a big day for you, though, it feels like. How long do you think it'll last, Brian?
I think it's going to last a while.
Over,
aggravating.
I don't think it lasts the football season.
Why wouldn't it last football season?
I think there's going to be more chances to argue during football season.
I don't think it lasts 2 weeks.
Yeah, you're probably right. Mike Burrows.
There's going to be something that happens in a baseball game that's going
to... I think he can make it to August. Yeah, I just think he can make it to August because we're about to have a week off in baseball.
That's true. That
it's
does help.
Slower time with the sports calendar. I think he can make it to August.
I don't even know if the music's helping today.
No, it doesn't seem to.
I'm kind of immune to the music today.
That's tough.
Built up immunity.
Good luck, guys.
It's going to be a long day. Hopefully I don't say anything stupid.
What are the chances of that?
90%.
That you will or won't?
That I will.
Okay.
I think what it really annoys me, this guy tried to just lawyer me by using some random thing. That wasn't even...
It wasn't actually... It just seems like a random screenshot.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they're trolling me.
That's possible. It is possible that the trolls are out for you, Brian.
Jeremy. All right, anyways, let's go back to Astro Baseball. Okay. Enough of me. No one cares about me in my grumpy moods. Mike Burrows, what did you think of Mike Burrows yesterday?
Mid Burrows.
I thought it depends. Like, more like bipolar Burrows a little bit? We're going to see a bipolar slider later tonight, by the way, with Emi. Okay, I meant to grab audio. I might have to do it during the break and try to send it to you, Brian. Because remember we were talking the other day, whenever we were hanging out, and we had TK? And TK goes, oh, yeah, Emi knows where his slider's going as he puffs back his eighth cigarette of the day. They literally interviewed him during the game. Yeah. Emi's like, yeah, I have no idea. Which I thought was hilarious.
He's like, I don't know where we go. Jeremy
Brandon's
right.
You want to dunk on TK? Is that what we're doing?
I didn't really mean it. Seems a little disingenuous.
Maybe it was mistranslated to TK. You never know.
That's valid.
Like, we know this guy doesn't go word for word.
Emi says they call it like a UFO slider, which I think
UFO slider?
Yeah, during the broadcast.
Awesome.
I'm going to cut the audio.
We have our
break,
own alien?
Because I meant to do it over the weekend, but totally forgot. And then Emi's pitching today, and I was like, oh, yeah. And then I remembered that Emi said that, and... prove TK wrong.
I like it. I like the name UFO slider.
I like bipolar slider. Should it be UFO slider or bipolar slider?
I don't like UFO slider because if he hangs it, they might hit it to outer space and it kind of turns around on us.
But that's why it's good. But that's why it's good, Brian.
Maybe.
It does a little bit of everything.
It works both ways.
It goes left, it goes right, and it leaves the ballpark.
It leaves the atmosphere.
It does leave the atmosphere.
So I think UFO slider is pretty good.
I like bipolar slider. Just because I think it's a little more cutting edge. And plus, I like to be different, you know?
That's fair.
I don't want to, Emi said it, so we got to be like that. No, I want my own stuff.
But Burrows, bad start to the game.
You want to talk about it next?
Sure.
Let's talk about Burrows on the other side. We'll talk about the bullpen on the other side. Maybe I'll argue rules with you all day long, too. 713-780-3776. HRP listener line. You can watch along. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. Also on ESPN Houston. Also on TikTok. Also on Twitter at ESPN975. Joe George Radio. Brian's out of practice at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Burrows, bullpen, too. I want to touch on the bullpen. The junkies have some thoughts, too. And as we always say, the junkies are the most sophisticated listenership on the internet, and sports radio. People on Twitter, you're ignorant. 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Eric the Buyer, I don't know if y'all have ever mentioned this on the show, but that Yordan Alvarez guy on the Astros is pretty good at hitting baseballs.
He's pretty good. I've heard that.
No, I'm not reading that. Mexico flag. We'll get to some Andres.
And I'm Mexico.
A little bit later. Junior Caminero versus Yordan Alvarez this weekend will be cinema. I'll be in attendance this Friday. Look at that flex. I'm going to the Astro game.
Five straight games of home runs for Caminero.
That's a lot. He's also going to do the home run derby, which if I was a Ray fan, I would not be happy at all. you know how the Astros send out, like, you know, they do these the digital marketing or whatever?
Yeah.
And like, hey, we got this team in this week. Hey, come watch us play this week. The Astros Rays, you know, is on the graphic. Junior Caminero for the Rays, you know, is on the graphic for the Astros. Jeremy Pena.
He's
that's unfortunate.
Yeah. You got to change that, don't you? Like,
I don't know if you can after the digital marketing goes out. There's carbon copies, you know?
I guess.
The digital, what do they call it? The digital trace? The digital trace. The digital trace is already out there.
Yeah. Probably should have found a way before it got posted to do a last minute edit.
I mean, it might have been too late.
That's probably true.
I mean, it happened yesterday. I think the digital marketing was already out.
Yeah.
Junkie, why does Dykem use Joe? Because these boys, Joe and Brian, have the humor of a third grader.
Okay.
That's why.
Replay it at some point, or you can hear the chuckle in your voice, too.
I was chuckling at you, your childish humor.
This is the way you say it.
Junkie, let him keep talking so Yordan keeps hitting. He's talking about Keith from L.A. Big day for Keith. Lakers are going for it. It's not Keith from L.A.
It's
Key from L.A. Keith is that one dude that, like, loves 50-year-old athletes. 713-780-ESPN. Branham is the... No. How about saucer slider? No.
No, I don't like that.
No. We're going with bipolar slider because he has no idea where it's going to go. I'm going to post it here in a little bit. We're going to work on it. A ticked off J-Bone makes for a great show. Does it, though? I don't seem to like it a whole lot.
It just depends. I don't know if I'm going to poke and prod at you today to really get you going, but we'll see.
75 saying J-Bone selling houses on the side. Man, you got to make a buck. Have you seen these gas prices? You seen the prices of groceries these days?
They're a lot.
Got to figure out ways to make some money on the side, 75. Don't hate the player. Hate the game. B. Hannon says Quentin Grimes to L.A. Go Cougs. Yeah, we'll talk some NBA free agency later. That's a good landing spot for him, though. I want to say Grimes and Luka played together in Dallas, too, so he must have co-signed the signing.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I would have, if for at least a year, I think they would have played together.
They had some crossing of the paths.
But that makes sense. Yep. It was just like a Lakers run of tweets from Shams Charania today.
Well, he's a big Laker fan.
It's like four in a row.
Yeah, I wonder. It stinks for Key from L.A., though. Like, you're a Clipper fan, and you have to see all these moves the Lakers are making.
And
you're trading Kawhi.
Yeah.
I feel a little bad for Key sometimes.
Yeah. He's got those picks in, you know, 2031 and 2033 to look forward to.
That is a lot to look forward to. Yeah.
In 5 and 7 years.
Yep. All right, Mid-Burrows yesterday. What did you think of Mid-Burrows?
I mean, bad start to the game, obviously, in the first inning. But then he, you know, pulled it together for pretty much the rest of the game.
He was kind of good innings 2 through 5.
Yeah, like, it's... Do you want the first inning to go the way it did? No. But it also kind of feels like it could have been a lot worse for him there. So, frankly, like, I 5 innings, 4 runs from Mike Burrows compared to some of the starts we've seen in the season. Is it playoff rotation worthy? No. Is it fine for the regular season? Yeah. I think it's plenty. Like, he didn't let the game get away from him. He kept the offense in the game, allowing them to have that 6-run inning in the fourth and take the lead. So I think at this point, like, I take it from Burrows.
Yeah, it wasn't awful. I mean, the first inning was atrocious.
Yeah.
Like, I look at things two different ways whenever I look at a pitching outing. Like, I look at how do I feel about the production from that night. And Burrows' production from last night wasn't great. 4 runs, 5 innings, all that stuff. Was it all most of the damage in the first inning? Yes. But I also look at it like, how much promise do I have in him going forward? Like, how much hope do I have in him going forward? And the way that he finished that game, it regained the hope. Like, if he got lifted after the first inning, I'd be like, okay, awful, awful, atrocious performance. Of course, you don't last more than an inning. That's an awful outing for a starter, unless there's an injury. And then I would have zero hope going forward.
Yeah.
He salvaged his performance yesterday. Still not a good performance, but salvaged his performance yesterday. Kept his team in the game, which is admirable. And the offense did enough in the fourth inning to win the game. But more, maybe even more than that, from innings 2 through 5, I'm like, okay, this guy's looking pretty good. This is the guy that we kind of saw in the last start, and it does give me some promise about Mike Burrows. Because there is this pitching surplus coming with the Houston Astros. Joe Espada, I listened to him on with our dear friend Sports MT a little bit earlier, and he talked about how they want to go 5-man rotation until post the All-Star break. So they're going to have like some decisions to make. And after the first inning, I think everybody in Houston that was watching that game wanted Mike Burrows to be a Sugarland spacer.
For sure.
But then innings 2 through 5, it's like, okay, yeah, that guy kind of stabilized things. And, hey, he still got you through 5. That's not something that's, you know, automatic with this pitching staff. He pitched really well his last outing. I'm not to the point where I want Mike Burrows to be a spacer.
No, you're right, though. It was that first thing was trending towards lead topic on the show today is get Mike Burrows off the baseball team.
Yep.
And then he brings it together. And the main thing is just it's the control. He started the game totally out of control. And the fact that he was able to gather himself, I think says a lot about him as a pitcher. Yeah, you don't want to be giving up four, you know, three earned runs in the first, putting your team in a hole like that. But your lineup is good enough to overcome it. So, I'll take it. Like, it's not perfect, but it could be so much worse. Like, we've seen him have blow-up starts this year. Imai, Javier, McCullers, where, like, it just completely unravels on these guys, and he didn't do that yesterday. So, I think it's solid for what, especially for the way that it started.
So, what's your plan?
I think if you're going five-man, obviously, Hunter Brown, Peter Lambert, locks. Imai, lock at this point. I'm probably sending, I think Burrows, I'm keeping him. I'm sending down Spencer Arrighetti.
Oh, sending him down completely.
Yeah, I'm sending him down. If you're going five-man rotation, Arrighetti goes down, Javier comes in. I don't know if that's any better.
Well, it should be worse, but Arrighetti hasn't been pitching very good.
Yeah, but like at this point with how it stands, one guy has options in Arrighetti. You have Burrows too, but he's been pitching better as of late. So if you're going five-man rotation, Javier's in, Arrighetti's out.
Yeah.
Pitcher of the month going down.
I think there's two things in play. I think that's one of them. My guess on what they do, though, is I think they're going to piggyback Arrighetti and Javier and send down Yolola.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I think those are the two options.
Yeah.
Option A, and what do you prefer, Junkie? 713-780-3776. Is it just optioning Arrighetti? Because they're gonna give Javier a runway for better or worse. Mm-hmm. Is it optioning Arrighetti? Is it optioning Yolola and piggybacking Arrighetti and Javier? That to me is the question.
Yeah, is Lambert in this discussion of being part of the piggyback at all?
I don't think so.
Okay.
That was off the woodwork. That's good. That's a Senegal early lead, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, we need goals, though, so that's all right.
Yeah, we got plenty of time.
There's some goals, though. Junkie, Branham is the nope, not reading that. The bullpen also yesterday was fabulous. Outstanding. This bullpen's been very good, though. Eniel De Los Santos, your guy.
I know.
Joe hates Eniel De Los Santos, Brian. He's not Eniel De Los Santos. He doesn't like Latin Americans.
Oh, that's but fair.
Eniel De Los Santos like goes you. A scoreless inning. I'm only half Mexican, though. I don't think I qualify as a Latin American.
Yeah. I would think of that as Central America, right? Central America, South America?
Yeah. I mean, I would call some Mexicans Latin, though.
Yeah.
Well, I thought you said you didn't think.
But I'm only half Mexican, so I don't know if I get the full Latin American treatment.
Okay. Well, I like you anyways. I have no rebuttal to that if you're saying you don't count. I just, you know, not a big De Los Santos guy right now, but yesterday.
He was good yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that it's really like. He's good, yes, but the story of the bullpen is what's coming in after. It's this run of Okert, King, Hader is nasty. Like, it is, when you think playoff hopes for the Astros, it's okay. You've got your final three innings right now in playoff games where you trust those guys. I mean, the highest ERA in that group is Okert. It's a 2-4-1 right now. It's all three of them looked nasty, very good in yesterday's game. So it was A++ stuff from them.
Yeah. No, it was bullpen. You're right. I mean, it's been one of the best bullpens, like, in the last month. They didn't allow a single base runner in the game yesterday. Is that right? Base runner? I know they didn't allow a hit.
That's correct.
They didn't allow a walk. Did anybody reach, like, on a hit-by-pitch error? I don't think they did.
No, the only hit-by-pitch was from Burrows.
That's incredible. That's incredible. That's a great bullpen, man. It's a really good bullpen. You go lefty, lefty, lefty in the 7th, 8th, 9th. I don't know how much that matters, but just that's pretty rare.
No, but, I mean, when they're good, it doesn't matter. But it's like I don't really look at this team and say like I'd be have any problem with that. I mean, maybe there's certain teams you would face in the playoffs that you wouldn't want to go lefty, lefty, lefty. But that's where maybe De Los Santos can, you know, really get this thing rolling again, and he breaks that up. So if you're playing,
well, I think that's why they want righties. Like, yeah. I mean, that's why what's his name, Dana Brown, has said that we want righties.
Although makes sense.
They have some young righties that I don't hate.
Well, that's why back to the Burrows point, like, I kind of want to see what Yolola looks like in a larger sample size. I'd like to see a little bit of a runway. I understand if they send him back down, he's not really part of that. And maybe the runway is really September 1st when the roster expands and he would get called back up, I would guess. And that's his chance to prove like what he could do on the bullpen in the playoffs or in meaningful games. But that's also still a, you know, month to put him in those situations.
Yeah.
Just to see. Like, it's going to be challenging for me to be that secure in the bullpen at that point. You're going to want to trade for someone then.
I think they just want to trade for a seasoned righty.
Yeah, which makes sense.
I still think they would, even if they like had a decent run with Eulola. Like, they want experience. They think that that matters, which it does matter. But Astros enter the day 1.5 games back of Texas and Seattle, and they're 1.5 game back of the wild card. This AL West is pretty dominant, you know. If you're a game and a half back of the division and the wild card, if the season were to end today, two AL West teams would be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Well, everybody, oh, the AL West sucks. I mean, season ends today, AL West would have two teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, well, for like 80%.
Every division would.
Like, I mean, like 80% of the season, there was one team above 500 or no teams above 500.
Three of the top seven teams in the American League, Joe,
yeah,
reside in the AL West.
That's a good
AL West,
again.
The best division in all of baseball.
AL West
713-780-3776. I mean, for all the hate that it gets, they do have the three of the top seven records in all of the American League.
Well, they've all just collectively started playing better, like outside of the Athletics, really, and, you know, Keys, Los Angeles Angels, who are terrible. But the Rangers, Mariners, and Astros are all playing much better baseball. The Rangers and the Astros both 7-3 in their last 10 games. Like, the Astros had a moment where when they were really struggling to where maybe they could have taken advantage of a weak division. But now everyone's just playing good at the same time, and now it feels like it's going to be a dogfight the rest of the season to try to see who wins this thing. And unfortunately for the Astros, they only have three games left versus the Mariners on the year. I think they have six versus the Rangers. So you still got some time to control your own destiny a little bit here for tiebreakers and things like that. But, yeah, the West is good all of a sudden.
That might be good, though, because the Mariners have kind of had the Astros' number over the last couple of years.
They have.
Yeah.
But you don't play against, well, I think it's August.
Yeah.
That's the next time they play.
Junkie spaghetti needs to be remade in Sugarland. Grade the joke. 713-780-3776.
2-3.
Yes, not the best.
It's like, I get where you're going. It's not that great.
Weren't you guys placing Arrigetti in Cy Young contention, and now you are saying go to AAA? Makes no sense. Well, it makes sense if you look at how he pitched
if
in May and June.
Game.
I mean, if you watched Spencer Arrigetti in May, you're like, oh, his numbers rival some of the top numbers in the American League. And then if you watched Arrigetti pitched in June, you'd be like, this bum belongs in AAA. I think it's pretty clear.
Yeah. It's just the reality of it.
Like, that was just my effort in getting it to make sense, though.
Yeah, but he was awesome. Now he's bad. How long is the leash on a piggyback start? Well, I guess who starts the game? Do you care?
I think it would be Arrigetti.
So Arrigetti starts. Javier comes in after.
Yeah.
Like what's the how long does he get? Like if he has the Burrow start, gives up three in the first. Back out there for the second?
Yeah, I'd still try to get some length out of him. Because, yeah. I mean, a piggyback, I'm trying not to use my bullpen. And if I'm using my bullpen, I want it to be one guy.
Yeah.
So, ideally, you're trying to get those two guys through eight. And Javier would also be pitching in his first big league game. I know he's pitched a lot in the minors. He's got it up to 80 pitches. But you probably don't want him topping more than 60, 70 pitches.
Especially, like, in that role.
Yeah.
But, because it's probably more just a timing mechanism more than anything. Where he's going to try to stretch out like he would as a starter. Probably come in like... You would think the fourth or the fifth would be their goal.
Well, I mean,
on those days.
I mean, Arrigetti's pitching really well, though, and he gets through five.
Yeah. Well, just like we saw with Burrows.
You get the last four innings.
Burrows was supposed to come in and be a piggyback, and he pitched the ninth.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago?
Because Emi's
last Friday?
Bipolar slider was nails that day. It was last Friday.
Yeah.
Because that's the day that TK. No, it was Thursday. He pitched Thursday.
Right. Yeah.
Because we were talking to him about Emi's slider, and he's like, yeah, he has control of it. He knows exactly where it's going.
He doesn't.
And then Emi, hours later, said, yeah, I have no idea. Boom shakalaka! I'm not personally right on that. I said I don't know. I said I would like to know more. Thank goodness they interviewed him that day, and I just didn't rely on what TK had to say.
Maybe you inspired him.
Because if Emi was not interviewed that day, I would just be like, yeah, Emi's got this great control over his slider.
he knows where it's going at all times.
I'm so happy they actually interviewed Emi, because I would have just taken TK's word for it. I'd be like, yeah, his slider's unbelievable. And he has control. He knows exactly. He pinpoints that. He's like Greg Maddux with that thing.
You going to bring this up tomorrow with TK?
I might.
All right.
I might. We'll see how tonight goes. We'll see how tonight. I don't want to insult a guest, though. That's kind of rude. You're not supposed to do that in radio. That's like Radio 101, Brian.
Sure, but you think there's zero chance he's going to hear this?
He's getting ready for a game.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not talking about live.
I'm going to say zero chance.
What, people are going to be like, hey, you hear what Brian's telling you? Not,
I'm saying there's at least a 10% chance, right, Dan Harrington?
Chandler Rome was hearing what we were saying about him.
Yeah, that's why I'm thinking like it is like I feel like 35% chance.
Although we're not being like cruel to TK.
No, not
we're
at
just
all.
Saying TK was a little bit inaccurate with my slider.
You did throw in an eight cigarettes joke.
That's not insulting.
I don't think it is. It's how his voice sounds.
I found it funny. I'm just saying.
I don't think it's an insulting thing to say about somebody.
No.
I think it's a compliment to somebody who works in the business. It means they have a great voice. It's like Joel Myers. Remember Joel Myers, former Texans preseason network guy? That guy had an unbelievable voice. That guy smoked a carton a day.
Should we start smoking as a show?
You should, for sure.
Wow. Okay.
713-780-ESPN.
When's your vacation coming up?
Not for like 2 weeks. Oh,
Jeremy, you rooting for your white side or Mexican side of the World Cup? Depends on who's playing. When it's El Tri, I'm rooting for the Mexican side. Tonight I'll be rooting for my white side. Whenever the Americans take on Bosnia Herce, I'll be rooting for them. 713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. All right, coming up next, let's talk about the Mexicans yesterday winning their match. Advance, you see the party going on in Mexico?
They're still partying at like 9 a.m.
They lifted the curse. Yeah. This is the first time they've advanced out of they've won a knockout game since like the 80s. It was a massive win last night for Mexico. We'll talk about it when we come back. Also, we're going to do what does it sound better? Sound better with the English call? Does it sound better with the Mexican call? And there's also a wild card entry. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN at 97.5.
ESPN.
97.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
713-780-ESPN. I forgot it was White Boy Wednesday.
It is.
White Boy Wednesday. This is Brian's BS first
flag.
White Boy Wednesday.
BS flag.
No, he always forgets.
Oh, he did. He put four songs in the rundown.
Good point.
I did, but I had forgotten that we were playing them.
Okay.
Like, it did like unregister.
So when you heard Metallica last...
I didn't register the.
You didn't register his white boy?
I was trying to find the EMI thing. I'm not even sure I heard the rejoin last segment.
It was Fuel by Metallica.
Oh. I did know earlier was Wednesday and did put that in there. But I'm ADHD, bro. Like, I forget things quickly.
He's arguing with people on Twitter.
That's true. That does distract me.
Although that happened. I think I won the argument. Because somebody sent me the pictures. Like, show me that in the rule book. We haven't responded.
Got
it in the rule book. I also did the control find on the rule book. So I think that was a good move. I said, can you show me where that is in the rule book? And I took the language that he used, and I put control find in the actual rule book, which showed zero fines.
Okay.
I think that might have been the trump card.
It is.
No, I think I might have won the argument. No.
Oh, wow.
No, people don't block me.
That's not true.
Yeah, but if they block me, they come back.
That is true.
Actually, no, people do block me. I can tell. There's a lot of people that block me, actually. I can tell because, like, you can't comment on their stuff. Mm. And it'd be like some random people, too. I'm like, I never even reacted to you. I've never even had an interaction with you, and we're having this.
They just see your tweets and like, this guy.
I think so.
Block.
People don't get me. People really, they don't.
They don't.
I'm just misunderstood, you know?
Yeah. That's probably the best way to describe you, misunderstood.
Yeah. Last Wednesday, you weren't here. Sarge was here for a White Boy Wednesday. I think he was a little offended.
Yeah. Why?
Because it's White Boy Wednesday. But I think he goes, White Boy Wednesday, huh? And I was like, yeah. White Boy Wednesday, we stole from the Texans.
Yeah, so why would it be offensive?
I don't think he knew the bit. I don't think he knew that we stole from the Texans.
Oh.
He just thought we were, like, being white.
Well, we are.
He does not like Caitlin Clark.
Is
Have you seen that?
Lot?
Sarge?
Yeah.
He cannot stand Caitlin Clark.
I think it's going to come up tomorrow, probably, if we do the worst topics in sports radio tomorrow.
Caitlin Clark stuff?
I think Caitlin Clark is skyrocketing.
Yeah, but people were like, you know what's happening, though? Is you're getting people that are starting to make videos about Caitlin Clark because they know it does numbers.
Oh, it does huge numbers.
Like, I saw H-Town Wheelhouse. So I like H-Town Wheelhouse, but I saw his TikTok the other day.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to start doing the Caitlin Clark stuff. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I pass.
I know why you're doing that.
I get it. I don't have that motivation for the numbers. I don't want to talk about it. It's not a basketball conversation anymore.
Oh,
90% of the time.
Oh, no, it's not.
Like, it has nothing to do with basketball.
No. So, how many people that are doing this are actually watching about WNBA?
They're not. They're not watching basketball. They're not watching the WNBA.
I'm not sure the last time I watched a WNBA game. Legitimately, it might have been when the Comets were in the WNBA Finals.
I mean, I know my answer. It's never.
I think I watched some WNBA Final Comets.
Sure.
That, to me, I think that's the last time I did that.
Like, I've never watched a game start to finish. I do not care. I did not care when Caitlin Clark made her debut. I'm not going to watch the Comets when they come back. I'm sorry.
If there was a U of H Cougar in the league, I might watch.
That makes sense.
You know, I saw their grind. I saw their come up.
Yeah, it's just...
But there hasn't been.
It's not for me.
There used to be, but there hadn't been in a while.
Not enough time in the day.
I mean, Joe, you could carve out the time.
there's time. You just choose
Joe,
to do
Joe, there's plenty
other
of time for you to
disagree.
Do it.
Disagree. I got things to do.
There's time for any of us to do it. If we dedicated ourselves to watch... It's called discipline. If we dedicated ourselves to watch a WNBA game, we could easily watch a WNBA game.
We did play
game.
20 seasons of our
It would take 2 hours
dynasty.
To watch one WNBA game. You can
should...
do it.
I ain't got it. I ain't got the time.
I'm not
I got...
saying you should
You can
do, that.
Do it.
I don't. I don't have the time.
Yes, you do.
I have other priorities that would go above it.
If you prioritize
your phrasing's
watching
all wrong.
A WNBA
I'm with you,
game,
but your phrasing's all wrong.
You could make time to watch a WNBA game.
Don't have the time.
You do have the time.
I don't want the time.
You quite
You're just
literally do.
Preferring to use your time in other ways.
I watch like 6 hours of baseball a day. I don't want to add another sport.
You could easily not watch 6 hours a day. That's
I
the
have
point.
Two jobs.
That is your argument sometimes. So you can't really.
Like, I have two jobs.
But I'm telling you, I could carve it out. You could carve it out, but you're prioritizing things that are more important.
Yeah.
You could not watch the Cubs game and watch, who does she play for? The Indiana Fever?
Yeah.
You could watch the Indiana Fever instead of watching a Cubs game just once. You could do it, but you're not prioritizing it, which I'm not blaming you for doing it. I'm more blaming you for your sitting structure and the words you choose.
Fair.
713-780-3776. The legend Fred Fowler, Big Smoker. See, we were saying it as a compliment. Little Junkie says Little Sarge and DJ both suck. Please stop putting them on. Little Sarge? Why does he call him Little Sarge?
It's an insult.
Please stop putting... He's asked nicely, though.
Yeah.
He did ask nicely. So, whatever. So, here's the EMI thing. I was working... I have two jobs due during our show. I was being producer, too. And I cut this... The EMI, whenever he was there on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Whenever he was on the shin on Thursday talking about his slider. Here was EMI talking about his slider, guys.
Yeah, so I know when I release the ball, like, which way it's going. But until then, I don't know which way it's going. So, for example, with the balls, I know whenever if I go with two forward, it's going to go left side. And if I don't, it's going to go right side. So, and then I can't tell that to Vasquez or Diaz before I pitch. So I really feel sorry for them, you know. I don't know which way it's going. So
Imai's English got a lot better. There you go.
He has no clue where it's going.
He has no clue where it's going. He can tell after he releases the pitch based on if he holds on too long or, I guess, releases it too soon. So they're not calling slider, like, glove side run, slider, arm side run.
Yeah.
They're calling slider and, like, just preparing. This could go anywhere. I'm ready.
We talked about it last week. Like, they're calling, like, on these sliders, they're setting up in the middle of the plate. They have no idea where it's going.
They don't know where it's going.
Yeah.
Imai doesn't know where it's going.
This makes me feel not good about Imai.
Just throws it up there and sees what happens.
Like, it's essentially a knuckleball.
Yeah, kind of.
Like, that's basically what it is.
Very different movement, but catcher has no idea which way it's going.
Yeah, that's the pitch, and, you know, it's on its way.
It's a bipolar slider.
Yeah.
Doesn't know what it's going to do. Doesn't know if it's going to get glove side run, arm side run. Doesn't know if it's going to move to the plate, go down like a changeup.
Maybe he should just start throwing a knuckleball, too. Add to the repertoire.
I'm good with what got. He's already talked back because he says he doesn't like throwing more than two pitches.
It's a third pitch. You can learn a knuckleball.
Why don't more people do it?
No, they can't.
There's not many knuckleballers anymore.
I couldn't tell you last time. I mean, like, the most recent one that comes to mind is still R.A. Dickey.
R.A. Dickey, probably. Like, I think there was a guy who threw one last year, but I think he was like a reliever. I don't remember. But those guys were awesome because, like, they would throw 250 innings a year because they never got tired. They could just sit there and throw their knuckleball all day. Boom, 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 boom.
Just throw forever.
I want another knuckleballer.
Teach Baby Branham.
Do you think it's too stat casty nowadays where you can't get a knuckleball?
It would have to be, yeah, yes. Because all people care about is velo. Like, if you were a scout and, like, you got a guy who throws, you know, 89, 90 in high school, which I'm assuming that's pretty good still these days. and these guys, the high school kids aren't throwing like mid-90s. Maybe they are. And you've got a knuckleballer. Who are you going to watch?
Ghostbusters.
I mean, it's who you're going to call.
I know, but
to begin with.
But
the way he said it.
I appreciate it.
All right, 713-780.
You've been such a dad since you turned 40.
I didn't turn 40 yesterday.
I know, but this goes past just yesterday.
Yeah. You know what, Brian? Brian gave me the best gift for my birthday.
He wasn't here.
Lack of presence. 713-780-3776. All right, let's get to the soccer from yesterday. The soccer from England. How about England? Coming from storming back, the English did. But we'll get to the Mexican calls from yesterday. Does it sound better in English? Does it sound better in Mexican? Spanish, I know. 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5. Back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
A little love from Sarge on the text line, tweet line. Jay saying, we'll take Sarge over Rich Eisen any day. There you go. I like Sarge. I like Rich, though. Rich is my close personal friend.
Yes.
It's hard for me to pick. You can't ask me to pick. It's like asking which child you love the most. I can't pick between Sarge and Eisen. I love them both equally.
Yeah.
I do. All right. Mexicans won a soccer match yesterday.
They did.
713-780-3776 if you want to weigh in.
And I'm Mexico.
Broke the curse. Won a knockout game. First time. Long time. What we like to do is we like to play with the English call. And then we like to play the Telemundo call with Andres Cantor. And then we get your opinion on which of the two that you like the most.
Okay.
So that's what we're going to do here. Also, later on, do you want to have a goal off?
Sure.
Who says goal the longest?
Like,
on your mark, get set, go, goal, and then see who lasts longer?
We can do that.
Right. Yeah, I thought you were going to be like, grade our goal call. But
No. A goal off.
Because I think you just win that. But yeah, we can do for length.
A goal off. We're going for length.
We can do that.
Let me hydrate. Here's the first Mexican goal yesterday. Here's the English call of the first Mexican goal.
Green space he was able to run into. Julian Quiñones. And oh, that's how to do it. Mexican magnificence.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Helps that he has an English accent, as I've always said.
Yeah, it does make it's better.
I mean, I think it's like an A3. Mexican magnificence. That's a good line.
It is a good bars line.
Since you can't say it, I'll give it a
Mexican
9.
Magnificence.
I'm with Joe. I think it's a 9.
Yeah, that's a great call. Here is Andres Cantor on Telemundo with the first Mexican goal. The goal. Doesn't get better. And music too, playing in the background. 10.
10.
That's elite.
That's a 10.
It's not even close. It's a 10.
So good. Here was the second goal. English call first.
Oh, he gets the break of the ball here. Raul Jimenez. And the defenders in trouble. It's going Mexico's way. Raul Jimenez joins in the fight.
Going there,
I'm gonna go like 7-6.
Yeah, I go like 7-4. He's a little hesitant. It sounds like he was a little late on the goal. It also was like a quick turn of play, like turned it over. So Mexico got it off the turnover and scored real quick. But no, I don't think it was his best.
Yeah, no, yeah. First call is definitely better.
Would you guys give it 6?
I give it 7-4.
Yeah,
seven, six.
I was going to be like
a good call.
6-8. It's all right, yeah, but it's
good call. Just yeah. Not what a great call.
He doesn't say goal.
Yeah.
I feel like it's missing something there.
Here's the Andres Cantor on Telemundo.
Raúl Jiménez y Raúl alcanza a apoyarse. Julián para Raúl.
Color guy getting in there too?
I think so.
I was like, let me hear two voices.
How good is that?
10.
Another 10.
Yeah. 10.
Absolute
easy
bangers. 10. That was so good.
And they got their crowd noise better.
I know.
Like, it sounds so different on the two calls where, like, they're really, like, they've got it right. Like,
levels are good.
You can feel the crowd more in that call.
Man.
Versus the other one.
I'm so jealous.
Shout out to the fans. That's an elite crowd eruption.
Dude.
That's one of the top crowd eruptions I've heard.
I mean, it's mayhem there yesterday.
Mayhem in Mexico.
Joe's spitting bars now.
It was unbelievable. Like, they were literally still partying at 9 a.m. this morning.
So good.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's been awesome. Did you see that they were camping out at the hotel the night before?
Oh, this is
trying
a great
to be as
move.
Beeping their horns, blaring
what
music.
Elite fans.
Yeah,
elite
this is
fans.
A great move. Like,
were the American fans doing that? Were the American outlaws doing that to Bosnia Herz?
No,
whenever
but,
they were sleeping last night.
But
in San
we need
Francisco?
More of it. Like, we just need like we need, if the Astros make the playoffs this year.
Uh huh.
If the game happens to be here in Houston.
Uh huh.
We need just like at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Just like bumping music. Top drop at 3 a.m. in the morning, as loud as possible.
Yeah.
The horns. We love our Astros in Houston
fan.
As loud as possible.
Step up your game.
Yeah, we need that more in America.
Did you see that the Morocco national team staying in this hotel across the street?
Oh, yeah.
They're taking on Canada.
Really? There's
That's
a
it?
Lot of, I mean, in every sport,
whenever
traveling
we were leaving
teams
yesterday,
to stay there.
Whenever we were leaving yesterday, they had the roads blocked because they were... they had like a little. They had
I think
a police,
I did know. I saw Saudi Arabia was staying there.
Police escort
when they were here too.
Yeah,
so that must just be like the hotel.
It is.
They had Sage blocked off literally.
Yeah,
they had it blocked off. And whenever I got to 610 from Westheimer, they had like the police escorts that were blocking off traffic. And then I saw the team bus and I saw the Morocco flag. So that's where the Moroccos are staying.
So
is that what they call them, the Moroccos?
The Moroccos.
So that's where we should tell all the Canadians to go.
Yeah.
To make some noise.
I don't remember the name of the hotel, but it's right down the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I see team buses there year-round. It must be a popular spot
for
traveling
sure.
teams.
I got a wild card entry into the call of the day from the Mexican game. There was a fan at the A's game yesterday. They were playing the Dodgers, and he was very clearly watching the World Cup, sitting like in the second or third row, and the effects mic picks him up.
A bit like Freeman, Betts, Ohtani, Kyle Tucker.
Well, I mentioned it last night, and he confirmed it in the post-game interview, which is you play with these guys in your video games. You collect their baseball cards. You have their posters. You watch them on TV, and now here you are.
That's good.
Well, now you're
he
on.
Was in the front row right behind home plate. You can see, like, the video's awesome, too, because, like, I'll retweet it at Jeremy Branham. You can see him. You can see him stand up and like throw his hands in the air. It's so funny. It's 5-1 in the third inning in Sacramento, and this guy's going nuts in between pitches because Mexico scored a goal.
And you can tell like it's messy with the broadcasters there.
Yeah,
at the beginning, 15 out of 10.
It's so good. He stands up. So
wish the announcers had acknowledged it though a little bit.
I know.
Kinda, they just try to power through and ignore them.
They're probably baseball purists.
Yeah.
They go, soccer's so beneath us.
It's awesome. This is great.
I know.
Like
that was. I mean, what's not? I mean, Sacramento's. How close is Sacramento to San Francisco?
They're both NorCal, but I don't know the mileage.
Yeah, it can't be too crazy, like, you know, distance wise.
I don't think they're that far.
All right. That was good.
Because I think when the baseball like rivalries thing happened, they put those teams against each other at first. Well, I guess maybe that was Oakland and San Francisco.
It was Oakland
and
San Francisco because
they
shared a bay.
But I don't think I think when they moved to Sacramento at first, they said it wasn't that far.
I thought it was like a couple hours.
Is it that? Is it?
I thought, yeah, but I mean, I don't think that's that far.
I guess, especially in California.
2 hours is nothing. I mean, if you, I mean, 2 hours from here, we're at the Buc-ee's in Madisonville.
Yeah, I think it'd be like Houston College Station, right?
Yeah, yeah, probably.
Kind of.
Not, well, College Station, 2 hours?
Well, it depends on where you're coming from. It's two hours for me.
Yeah, but you live on, you live in BFE.
I guess. Well, far.
You live way out there. You live on the water. That's how far you live.
You live way out there.
I live north. I don't have water near me. I got a river, but I don't have a bay.
That's
like,
true.
You got a bay. You're like 15 minutes from the bay.
It's true. It's kind of nice.
You go fit. You take advantage of it.
No.
I don't know why that was funny to me.
Why are you laughing, Brian?
I don't know.
Go back.
I don't know.
Go back to Glenn.
That guy kind of looks like John Stamos a little bit.
Nope.
You don't think so?
Not at all.
I thought he looked. I think it was more the side profile.
Maybe, but I don't see it.
That guy looks like Obafemi.
Careful.
713-780-3777.
The Texans player?
All right, whenever we come... Yeah, the guard from Oklahoma. Whenever we come back, let's get an update on Freddie LA7. There's updates on Freddie LA7, who is... he's off of Twitter. He's not off the internet completely. He's on IG, but he's on Twitter because he calls it toxic. Toxic masculinity on Twitter, which he's not wrong. Also, I think we're going to have a goal off when we come back. We're going to have a goal off when we return. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.